You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drake with us, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, author and Hidden Killers daily contributor. We're talking right now about a case that is starting to get some more attention. It's a bizarre murder. Timothy Floyd Smith. This is a man who seemed to really not have many enemies, at least on the surface. Everything on the surface looked pretty good. It looked like he was in a happy, loving relationship, had a job that he was passionate about and loved, and not really many people out there saying anything bad about this man or anything shady. And they found him murdered. Initially, the significant other, his partner, was not looked at as a suspect. But when investigators wanted to talk with them, meaning him and his partner's daughter, they are saying, well, the only way you're going to talk to me is if we have immunity from prosecution for this crime. What do you make of that?
Yeah, isn't that odd? I make of that what probably people are suspecting is that, well, that's odd, and why?
Yeah.
And now, granted, people might do that for protection, but so my first question when I saw it is, one, I'm curious about how he died, and the second question I have, did he have insurance money, and who was it, and who's on a title for it? Because this is what we've seen time and time again recently, is people solve problems, especially financial problems, by seemingly bumping people off that are close enough to him that they can financially profit from. So those are my first two questions. How did he die? And what's the connection? And what's the insurance situation?
That would be interesting to take a look at the financial situation there. You're exactly right, because what may look like a wonderful, loving relationship on the surface, most people, you know, there's always things that go on in relationships that, you know, the rest of the world doesn't see, because it's interpersonal things that are going on with one's partner. And finances can make people do pretty extreme, crazy things. I think sometimes even if they do appear to be in a loving relationship and both partners, you know, seem to think that, or the partner that is the victim seems to believe it wholeheartedly, this could have come completely out of nowhere for them.
Yeah, especially for the victim, because, you know, here he is, he's a caregiver. And, you know, when you look at levels of income of individuals, you know, compassionate caregivers generally don't rank up there high for income. So if there was money involved, again, unless there's a lot we don't know, which is a lot, because we don't know anything, pure conjecture as we do in here. But, you know, the only thing that I was thinking is that if there is a financial motive, it's got to be through insurance money, because like we're seeing on the surface, people that tend to be compassionate caregivers also might be so altruistic and trusting of others that they might be blind as well to threats around them. We've seen it before with other victims, is that the victimized tend to be blind to the threats around them. And that might be the case here, it looks like.
Sure. Money, obviously, insurance, that should all be looked at. But when we're talking about behavior of individuals, what should investigators be looking for right now in terms of any potential suspects?
I just go for any access points in his life. You know, you're looking for, so they're going to keep expanding the circle outside of him. They're going to keep looking at all the people that he's had interactions with. And out of all those people, you're going to be pinging on people that are close enough to him to know his personal financial situation, whatever we think the motive was for this. And then what we're going to be looking at out of that circle of people around him as we expand the circle is who's deviated from their baseline. Because people, because when you're going to commit murder for an end that you have justified in your own mind, there's going to be a deviation. There's going to be a behavior spike, because it's a traumatic event, especially if this is a first-time offense. And even if it's a second-time offense, unless we got a serial killer here, which it doesn't look like, but you never know. But you're going to look for a behavior spike from the people in this person's circle. So you're going to just, you're going to examine their lives. And that's why every time you have someone that's identified that's been in his circle, you're going to now examine that person's life, not just the interaction with the victim, but the interaction with everyone in their lives. You're going to be interviewing everyone around them and everyone that interacts with them to kind of see what's going on in their life. Do they have any stresses that are unresolved? Because that's what you're looking for. You're looking for people around him in his circle that have been under a strain, a new strain most likely, that they haven't resolved, that they didn't have any kind of appropriate response to, and also, you know, notes from people and individuals that say this person doesn't typically emotionally deal with situations in a necessarily healthy way, that they've been known to act out, they've been known to be violent, they know to have emotional impulses where they can't control themselves, including, you know, potentially, you know, drugs or alcohol or something like that. But that's what you're going to be doing.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.